Assembly Speaker for us up here in Altoona. Don't plan on saying no because you ain't allowed.
Knowing damn well I'm easy. I love it up here, you know. And, so I knew I was coming, but I immediately said, you know, I called him back. And I said, Eric, what's my topic? And he said, I'll get back with you on that. Well, he didn't get back in my time. So I called him again. I said, Eric, what the hell, you know, really, what's my topic? You know, I like to prepare for these things. And he said, no, me and the committee discussed it. And, Jimbo, you're just going to pick out of a hat. Well, that's a stupid way to do a fucking meeting. You can pull all that as God's intervention and stuff. I like to prepare because me and God could have talked about this 2 weeks ago. You know, so no matter what topic I get, it's a stupid topic. You know, that's what I'm expecting. And then I get this one. And where I normally, I get mad when people blame God on misfortune. You know, when people come to meetings and they say, well, I got fired. I guess it's God's will that I ain't supposed to work there. No, you fucking came late. You missed. You wasn't a good worker. Don't blame God because you got a horrible work ethic. That's why your ass got fired. We were talking about that. You know, like, I got a friend that goes to school, like, habitually. Hey, but he ain't a habitual graduator. The fucking OVR, pay for it. Again and again, OVR, what a miracle in Narcotics Anonymous. We got somebody pay for you to go to school. You fuck it up, they'll pay again. And he's there, you know, and I'm like, I shouldn't do this. As an addict, I should know better. I should give this man the benefit of the doubt. You know, he's going to do all right. But I'm going like, no, here we go. In a month, he's going to be saying, I'm so-and-so, and I'm an addict. God didn't want me to go to school anymore. And you have someone like me to say, you fucking lying. Don't blame God. But my topic today is secrets kill. And, well, it's funny because I say that, and then I go like, well, secrets kill. I should be good at this. Because the people that know me know that I'm really open. I don't have many secrets today. I learned early in recovery that misfortune that I may have had, some things that I may have suffered as a boy growing up, when I talk about things, people relate to them. And I know that because I sat here as a newcomer, you know, and I came into this program knowing about just secrets and anonymity. And I go like, well, there's just certain shit that nobody needs to know about me. But it helped me. My heart opened up hearing someone else talk about abuse. You know, when they talked about abuse, I said, so that's okay to talk about. You know what I mean? I don't need to hold it anymore. You know, there are so many analogies about backpacks and saucepans that you could talk about that we take in that backpack. We got one secret, and it ain't so bad if you just hold it one. But we go living our daily lives, and we just keep throwing them in that backpack, right? Until one point, your knees ain't that strong, and your legs buckle. And the way we buckle in Narcotics Anonymous is we use, or we act out. We do dumb shit that don't make sense because at some point it doesn't matter anymore. My life sucks anyway. You know, so I learned in Narcotics Anonymous that I don't hold secrets. I know that as I stand up here, I can tell you that I was sexually abused as a little boy. It was probably because my mother was neglectful. My mother that was busy getting high. I can say that and I know that somebody relates. You know, I can say it today and go like this. I'll be damned if that shit owns me. It won't own me. I won't be a prisoner to it. You know, you're not going to hear me keep coming to meetings talking about, no, because it stems from the abuse I suffered as a child. No, because y'all told me real quick that I need to get out of the problem and into the solution. You know, and I'm not good. It's bad because I'm not good at tolerating it either. You know, I want to tell people, well, could you shut up about that shit? Every damn meeting. So what, he beat you? I'd probably beat you too. Oh, whiny, miserable motherfucker. Listen, yeah, I see why you was beat. This is a program of relating. When I come up here and tell you, as a young man, 13, 14 years old, I ran up on, I found a pervert. I found a pervert, and I was turning tricks. I was turning tricks for $15. $15. He'd give me extra $5 if I jack him off. That was $20. I ain't never sucked him, though. For some reason, I feel like it's important to say that. He blew me and paid me. It was actually like win-win. Hold on. And I can sit up here, and I know there's somebody that relates to that. You know, and that's at an age I can't blame him no more. I can't say he was a molester, a pervert, a predator. No, he was getting sick of me. He understood. I said, are you ready? You know, it's scary that I go like, damn, because if he kept offering money. And it's funny, I share that, and I usually tie that in with acceptance today. Because acceptance was a big problem of mine. You know, I don't remember, I grew up around junkies. I grew up around by people that got high. And but I knew better all my life. I knew right from wrong. That stuff is intrinsic. It was inherently put in me by God, you know, where you get that funny feeling that says you probably shouldn't do that. You know, my problem was I never really trusted that little feeling that told me, you know, that little tickle in my gut. I learned to like that shit. It was something like a crack high, wasn't it? Like always scared of something. You know, but being able to talk about this, I ain't no victim to it. You know, I wasn't a victim then. I just made some dumbass choices. And as you listen to me today, you will understand, I've got a history of making some stupid-ass choices. That's where Narcotics Anonymous comes in. That's where my sponsor comes in. You know, my sponsor makes it real easy. This transition into recovery, and I got to tell you, it's like I've been on this boat lately, that my sponsor, he made it easy for me to come from the street to the rooms. With no problem. You know, he taught me real quick that this was a selfless program. You know, my sponsor, in spite of what some people may say, and it seems like we always got a lot of old-timers that always talk about, when I came in, they told me, sit down, shut the fuck up, take the cotton out your ears, put it in your mouth. Look, if you'd have said that to me, I would have punched you in the fucking mouth. Because I was afraid to look like a sissy at that point. You know, image meant everything. When I came here, my sponsor treated me with dignity. He showed me love that I wasn't used to being shown. Now, maybe it is a thing where what works for some don't work for everybody. Well, I'm just... And it's funny, you all motherfuckers who do it, you ain't doing it to no big motherfuckers. You ain't doing it to some sissies. Huh? That's when you got that real recovery, that tough shit, tough love. Use a sissy too. You know, and I love it. I mean, it's easy for me to talk about secrets today. And it'll probably get worse. I mean, it's like, you know, and I, like, as I'm in recovery, as I'm learning about things, you know, I start working steps. And it's funny, my secrets, early on, like, I had choice ones. You know, okay, we ain't going to talk about that. But I'll make up some shit and lie. You know, to this day, I love when people talk about four steps, so I get to go like, hey, when I did my four step, I lied like a motherfucker. I wrote shit in there on my whole intention. I'm sitting there thinking, I'm going to write, this motherfucker's going to read this. He's going to be scared of me. I'm going to sponsor him after this shit. Because he's going to know how mean I was and the bad things I did. He's going to tell people about me. Swear to goodness, I wrote shit in there that my friends did. I told the story so many damn times I believed it. I told my friend the story one time and he said, that wasn't you, that was me. And I swear to God that happened. I swear to God, and I went like, damn, you right. Lying and secrets. Secrets, they become lies. You know, you know, but coming around and listening to people, I learned that you know, working these steps, more importantly. You know, the 8th step was like the big one. From my 4th, I wrote that book. You know, that new sponsee fired up with my book pack and attaché case for service and shit, notebook. And I wrote that long-ass 4th step. When I got to the 8th step, you know, I'm like, God damn, I wrote. Weeks is going by and I'm writing all the time. I think, this shit is only a page and a half. I'm badder than that. I had to hurt more people than that. At the end of the day, I mean, it wasn't that bad. I wasn't as evil and as mean as I thought I was. You know, so and there's beauty, that step work that brought me through that. That told me that I can be myself. That I can tell you that I wasn't that bad. But my whole penitentiary time might have been 6 months. And I don't feel like less a man for saying that. But for some reason, when I was a newcomer, I tell you, I mean, I did 3 years. 3 years, what? What'd you say? 75 to 150? I do that on a fucking toilet. And look, I didn't even like when I look at it, you know, I spent some time in the streets, but not a lot. You're like, for real. I was like a house addict. Like, I never really was homeless. I might have been homeless like a summer. But it wasn't really homeless, because it was, if I had a little bit of something, all I gotta do is fucking fall asleep at your house. You know what I mean? They ain't nobody gonna wake me up. They think I'm crazy anyway. They just see my ass fucking running around hiding in the shower, searching for shit, looking out of windows. They think I'm psychotic. And you ain't gonna wake nobody up like that. You know, so to be quite honest, I can't say I never stayed under the fucking bridge. Never. Never in my life. You know, I was a weekend warrior. I mean, it wasn't always on the weekend. You know, it might have been a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday warrior. But I was that guy. I mean, I ended up getting married, you know. You know, I was the guy that went out for a pack of cigarettes. And then 3 days later, I came home and didn't have no fucking cigarettes. Talking about, I got to go back out to get a cigarette. You know what I'm saying? And I come up here and I swear half of this shit is stick for me. I get such a kick out of making people laugh. You know, now, and swear to God, where I walk out and I go, dear Lord, please make me funny and effective. Swear to God, that's what I say. You know, I love to keep people involved and I love people to relate. You know, my sponsor, just like everyone's sponsor, probably ought to told your ass, if you touch one person in that room tonight, if you touch one person, God worked through you and you did your job. There's fucking 100 people here. 1% ain't much to ask for. So if I'm successful with one, fuck everybody else. All you gotta do is make him laugh. I'm gonna get back on these secrets. And I knew my intention was to come here, and if he give me a fucked up topic, I'm lying. I'm gonna keep it a secret. And as soon as I got it, old Neb shit, she was like, "What you get? What you get?" And I was like, "Hold on." You know, just as like newcomer, I don't give a fuck about newcomer no more. That was a joke. Yeah, everybody started hating me real quick. Now, I mean, it's a boring topic. So just in case I had a lie, I tried to keep a secret about it. Once again, like I said, from the guy who tried to keep his eyes closed to the miracles that God performs, you know what I mean? It hit me right there. That's one of them things. I still ain't going to tell you I saw Jesus. I get in trouble with that one. Religion, you got to keep that shit a secret in Narcotics Anonymous. And you don't even have to. You know what I mean? Because I can tell you right now that what I say here, I don't say it on behalf of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, what they asked me to do is give you my opinion of how secrets kill us. You know what I mean? If I quote out of that book, I think it's my responsibility to tell you where I quoted from and what it says black and white. Don't paraphrase something that was written right. Because there's really nothing sorry than an idiot trying to paraphrase some shit that is nice. You know, don't take it and put it in your own words. Unless you got experience. Like some of us speakers. I like you. She keeps, every time I do that shit, she do it back. And some of it is lies. Half time I just bullshit up here, so don't hold me to nothing. You know, the secrets, like I said, I think the value in me being open, the value in that is to provide someone the opportunity to relate. You know, because it's so nice to relate. It hurts to sit here and think that I'm the only one that goes through this. You know, some of us with time that have suffered things like this, I think it's on us. You got to be able to say that. Because people got to know that this is a safe place to talk about things like that. You know, and that's a hard thing to do. You do come full circle in here. You know, I thought anonymity meant an entirely different thing. But actually, I think a lot of people do. When we talk about what you heard here, say here, well, read it. Read it. That is just a small part of what this anonymity is about. It's about seeing without no eyes. That's what it's about. You know, it's about giving everyone a chance, no matter what they look like, what they sound like. It's about placing principles before personalities. You know, I truly believe that. And to give someone the benefit of the doubt and let them share with you something that they wouldn't normally share, you know, it gets rid of burden. Burdens weigh us down. You know, what's dangerous for me today, for me, and I am going to speak on some on for some people with time as well. You know, a lot of times we got secrets we won't talk about. Because you feel for some reason that I'm expected to do a certain thing. You know what I mean? I like to keep it a secret. I bought a house. I was happy as hell I bought a house. You know what I mean? She said $11,000 in debt. You're doing well. You're doing well. Because I got secrets. Home equity loans. What the fuck? Where was them when I was getting high? I didn't have bad credit because I ain't never bought nothing. I got a little bit of clean time. You got people say, hey, we'll give you $5,000. Checks. The sorry motherfuckers send you a check for $5,000. Say, all you got to do is sign it. For real. And then they even go like, no, this is real. All you got to do is, by signing this, you agree to the terms of fucking 45%. You know, but I don't like to come to Narcotics Anonymous meetings and talk about that. That, you know, when I say, yes, I'm Jimbo, I'm an addict, I got 8 years clean, and I spent some more money that I don't fucking have. I got a pattern with this, because you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fuck them somehow. Somehow I'm going to get behind, but there's going to be somebody else that says, what, you owe them $5,000? We'll give you $10,000. You give him $5,000. It's like whole new dope moves all back over again. We don't give you $10,000. You give him your $5,000. And then you got $5,000 in your pocket. How can you go wrong? Once again, goddammit, I ain't got the money. I can't afford it. 8 years, I'm still having to learn these dumbass lessons. And if y'all, my predecessors, would have shared this shit with me. You see, in the end, it ain't my fault. So I tell you now, as that credit runs your way, if you can't afford it, it's real simple. You can't afford it. And that's good advice I'm giving you. Because like I said, $11,000? Shit, she was doing well. Well. Then I don't tell no one. I just act like I got extra money. Like I got a raise or some shit. 3 more minutes. 3 more minutes, for real. You didn't leave me no damn time.
God damn, everyone was leaving. Shit.
All right, well, let me jump to this. Because I did want to talk about some of my secrets so that you might relate. I want to talk about some of the secrets that we have and get that message out that those of us who have been here for a little bit longer, we need to still ask for help. We need to still ask for help. We need to come to meetings and quit. When they say, you got a topic, don't your ass sit back or think of a topic that they might need. You know what I mean? Think about that topic that you might need. It is about giving back, but we can't forget that we came here taking, and you still got to get some. You know what I mean? That newcomer that you're trying to preach to might help your ass that night. You know, but I also want to talk about secrets that you ought to keep. Huh? Secrets that you need to keep to yourself. And I'm horrible with that. Look, the people in my life are so wonderful, and they know me so well that they go, hey, Jimbo, you know what? Well, just so you know, this got to stay between me and you. That's the magic word with us. Because if you don't tell me that shit, I'm telling somebody. I never knew I was a snitch. I'm like snitching the police, but I love telling people's business. Like, I absolutely love it. But I'm honorable in a sense. If you tell me don't say nothing, my word is my bond. I ain't going to say nothing. It's the ones that do you got to worry about. That's them sorry sons of bitches. They say, hey, guess what so-and-so said about you? I said, what did he say? Oh, he said you was an asshole, and when you shared, it was boring. So now I'm mad at him. You know, what did you do in effect in there by telling me that he didn't like my lead? What value was there in that? You know, all you did was piss me off at him. Except when to do so would injure them or others. You done injured everybody now. Those are worse steps. I hate that guy. I watched my wife go through this shit. Someone got married, and I'm telling you, this girl who was getting married, she said, I might get drunk at my wedding. Well, my wife said that. She said it a joke. This done passed through six people. You know, and then, you know, the guy came to me and said, guess what this guy said? He said, your wife told him that she was going to get hot. And I went like this. I said, Joey, don't tell my wife that. Don't tell my wife that. All you're going to do is fucking cause problems. He couldn't help it. He's sitting there when she walked by. He was like, what the fuck? Like, I really got to tell her. He told my wife. She said, you know what? Fuck him. Fuck him. And I'm going to tell him when I see him. What did you accomplish in that? Nothing. All you did was create hate. You created animosity, resentment. Somebody going to use over this shit, and you going to sit back like, I can't believe them people. And I remember going to my sponsor. I went to my sponsor, and I said, guess what so-and-so said about you? No. Here's how I put it. You want to know what so-and-so said? He looked at me and said, no. It was killing me. I was like, for real, you got to know. He's telling your business. He broke your anonymity. He went like, so what? He didn't even say, fuck him. He said, so what? That was a revelation for me to know that somebody go like, what? And my sponsor was grimy. I remember him. You see him back there. My sponsor's like 330 pounds. 6'5", 6'6". No neck with that little ass head. Hey, but when he was getting high, he was that same height. 135 pounds. Doing this shit all the time. Yo! Directing people around the block, right? Go around one more time. You know, but when my sponsor, when that, you know, I'm like, man, he's talking about you. So what? And it was hard for me to fathom because I'm telling you, there was one time a guy I didn't like, he pulled that shit. Somebody said, guess what he said? And I said, what did he say? They said, oh, he said that, and I don't even know what it was. But I went, here's just an excuse to establish my alpha male role in Narcotics Anonymous. I'm going to knock this motherfucker out. In the meeting, And then we go, because I learned that from my uncles. They told me you're supposed to knock the biggest, baddest motherfucker off. Some dumbass instructions you give to a kid. Don't ever raise no kid to go to jail. Don't make no damn sense. Raise him to go to college. And it was funny. My sponsor never was at that group. And, like, I wigged out. I put on sweatpants, a t-shirt. I'm going to lace my shoes up. And I never lace my shoes up. And I lace them in case they come up. I said, I'm going to just go in there and say, I heard you was talking shit, dunk, and walk out. So that's my M.O. Actually, my chin ain't so good. So I got to hit first because I get knocked the fuck out. And I'm too big to get knocked out by a little white guy. That shit will reverberate louder. But I went in, you know, and I busted in the door like John Wayne. And my sponsor looked up and went like, go ahead. Like, and it, like all my tough guy shit. I went like, oh, okay. And look, get the hell off. It's a minute zero. Okay, so I will wrap it up. But my sponsor, he pulled me out of that one. He said, you're acting like a fool. It don't make no sense. You ain't going to accomplish nothing. You ain't going to make nothing better by doing it. Right. You know, as much as you think you're going to make yourself feel better by arguing with somebody, telling somebody how you feel or fighting, we always lose in the end. You know, and I learned that right there. I learned that more as I go because I still make stupid mistakes. But in closing, I'll tell you, just keep it simple. Don't get high today. Listen to your sponsor. And don't keep secrets because they will kill. That's all I got.